Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of contemporary praise and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next 14 minutes, won't you? Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. Jesus makes something beautiful of our lives. Sing along with this lovely contemporary praise song. It's number 394 in our United Methodist hymnal, Something Beautiful. Today's message is entitled, Watching the Wrong Hand. Here is Methodist Hour speaker, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you, Brother Witt. This gospel lesson is Matthew chapter 15, verses 10 through 20. Then Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, Listen, understand this. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles. Then the disciples approached him and said, Do you know that the Pharisees took offense to what they heard you say? He answered, Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into the pit. But Peter said to him, Jesus, explain this parable to us. Then he said, Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that what goes into the mouth enters the stomach and then goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart comes evil intention, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, and slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile. Amen. Lew Thompson was a magician. Well, actually, he was a mechanical engineer, but he had a marvelous hobby of doing magic shows for hospitals and various kinds of gatherings, and one afternoon I watched him make quarters disappear. Now, I knew that what I was seeing could really not be true, but I could not tell where he got those quarters and how they disappeared from his left hand. He showed me the quarters in his left hand, then he rubbed his hands together and opened his left again, and the quarters were gone. Now, I knew it was magic, not real magic, but I knew I just couldn't figure it out. I begged him to teach me how to do it. Well, after about a dozen demonstrations, I finally gave up. I could just not see how he was doing it. Now, he was really good. But finally, out of the mercy of my eagerness, he told me the secret. He said, John, you're watching the wrong hand. He said, don't look at my left hand, watch my right hand. Well, finally, I just caught a glimpse of the quarters changing from the left hand to the right. And while I was staring at his left hand, he slipped the quarters into his side pocket. You're watching the wrong hand. You know, that's a phrase I'll never forget. Now think about these Pharisees and the scribes. They went to ask Jesus. No, I think they accused him of breaking the law. They said, why do your disciples eat without washing their hands? Now, in all fairness, you and I have always been told to wash our hands before we eat. It's a good idea, very important, haven't we? And of course, this was a strict Jewish law. But the question from the scribes and the Pharisees right now was so inappropriate. You see, they had acted as though he had not seen what was going on. Jesus was in the town of Gennesaret. People from all over town were begging him to come to heal them. They brought everyone who was sick to Jesus just to be healed. Even some who just touched the hem of his cloak were healed. Now, I think that's pretty serious stuff. But when the scribes and the Pharisees came and they said something like, oh, well, we've seen all those sick people you hear. That's a great deal. We noticed a lame man who can now walk real nice. But how come you don't wash your hands before you eat? You see, they were watching the wrong thing. The truth is, they were probably so afraid when they saw what was really happening, they had to defend themselves on some kind of ground. Remember that in Jesus' day, there is no record of anyone ever being healed by a scribe or a Pharisee, in or out of the synagogue. It's a pretty good guess that the scribes and the Pharisees took advantage of the situation and tried to embarrass Jesus in front of a big crowd. You see, because Matthew tells us that Jesus called the crowds to him and he said, now listen and understand. That's like saying, all right, folks, listen up. I'm going to tell you something very important. Then Jesus said, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the person that defiles. You see, what we speak is what defiles. You know, I have a difficult time understanding the enormous significance of this issue. See, the major difference between the Jews and the Gentiles was the observance of eating and washing, those kind of rituals. Jesus was calling persons to come together as one in God. But when the Jews and the Gentiles came together, there was an immediate division over the issues of food and ritual traditions. I mean, it's unbelievable what they did. Well, Jesus knew that the division was really much deeper than food rituals. You see, they become a mask for the things of the heart. There is no question that the Jews felt that the Gentiles were simply not quite as good as they were. And you see, if the Jews were to accept the lack of ritual by the Gentiles, it would be casting doubt on the significance of their own values. Jesus was trying to teach the scribes and the Pharisees and the people in that crowd that the thing that matters most is not what we eat or drink, but how we treat each other. Dr. Ben Johnson was the first one who taught me about the kingdom of heaven, that it is a kingdom of right relationships. That has been so burned in my mind. I remember Janelle. She grew up in Miami, Florida. She was a Jewish girl. She went to Jewish schools and participated in all the marvelous Hebrew traditions. Her brother were always sort of more important. In fact, her brothers always said, though, that she was the apple of her daddy's eye. But when Janelle graduated from college, she met Raymond, and Raymond was a United Methodist. She said at first glance it was not very serious, but the time came when she and Raymond really got very close. And they made a decision to get married, and she knew that it would be awkward to her family to understand why she didn't find a good Jewish boy. But she felt loved by her family and counted on their acceptance. Janelle's father said, if you marry this young man, you will not be my daughter. Within a few months, Janelle and Raymond did get married, and they were married in a small Methodist church down in Miami, Florida. Janelle got word that she would be forbidden to bring her husband into her parents' home. Several weeks later, a neighbor called to tell Janelle that she had seen Janelle's name in the obituary column. Janelle's father declared his daughter dead and held a funeral service for her. He never spoke to her for the rest of his life. Now, when I remember telling her story, or when she told her story to me, I could think of my own two daughters. I can't imagine doing such a thing. In fact, I confess I felt some anger toward her dad and at the same time being a little too proud of myself for being so much better father. The truth is, I was not. But there was something deep in the tradition that he couldn't get past. I remember two young men, Fritz and Carell. They lived about a half a mile from our home and I guess about the same distance from our church. They rode the same school bus as our girls and often stopped by on their way home. I was the pastor of the church near their home, and I learned from persons in the community that Fritz and Carell's parents were very strict and were often to harshly punish the boys for the smallest misbehavior. They were the only black family that lived in our community, or at least nearby our church. You know, the strange thing is that I passed by that little home nearly every day for 3 years while I served that church. Fritz even spent the night at our home several times because of family problems. Yet, I never invited Fritz or Carell to come to our church. I thought they belonged to some other church. But on the other hand, I think that I was in just about every home in our community, and I don't think I ever called on that home. But I know that if there are any children in the homes that I call on, they knew about the church and about the children's program. And, well, I guess what I'm really trying to say is confess to you that while I was studying to be the pastor of a church, studying so that I could teach my congregation the language of love and the Gospels, the truth is, as far as these two brothers were concerned, I was actually living out of my own deep cultural bias. I mean, I didn't even realize it. I didn't invite those boys to our church because, well, they just didn't fit. I mean, they didn't fit me. But you see, the bias was so deep that I didn't even notice it. I can tell you, when I think about it now, it grieves me deeply. And I've overcome that to a place where I can see it so clearly. But I've asked myself, I wonder what else am I doing unconsciously that comes from the heart that is contradictory to the gospel? You see, remember, for Matthew's people, when in that day, the heart was the center of understanding. That is, the way we think. Jesus said it comes from the heart. Several years ago, I had just gotten home from the office, and the telephone rang, and I said, hello, and the voice in the line said, Reverend Wolf, this is Fritz. Do you remember me? His voice was vaguely familiar, but I promise you I couldn't think of his name. And he said, I used to live down the street from you. Then I knew. And I said, how are you, Fritz? Well, okay, I guess, he said. I just got out of jail. And he said, you were the only person I could think of to call. Well, why were you in jail, Fritz? The phone was silence. But finally he said, because I beat up my wife. But I never hit my kids. You see, the last time I had seen Fritz had been nearly 20 years before. And now he could think of my name to call. It just moved me so deeply. I could say that Fritz learned to hit his family during his childhood, and I'd be correct. But you see, that's not what defiled him. That's not the reason he chose to act out that aggression. No, I believe the reason is that he never learned about a transformed heart. He did not learn about a Christ who could have tempered his understanding. He was so close. He was just down the street. I passed his home every day, but I never told him. Have you ever done that? Amen.
Top priority for every Christian should be that God's love may flow through us. And the essence of that love is the story of a cross, of the value of each human life, of self-giving deeds to bless others. John Wolf, I know you've got another message. Share your word with us now.
Thank you so very much. You know, when you consider all the things that are happening in the world today, the power of weapons and armies and money and markets and politics and all of the good things that are happening too, yet nothing seems to be able to draw us closer as a world people. At the same time, one tiny microscopic organism called the coronavirus has completely leveled the playing field. We realize that we are all just basic human beings created in the image of God, and we need each other. You know, what really separates us is our inaccurate understanding of each other. Jesus tries to teach us that God's love is for us all. You know, we can blame the church or politics or denominations or nationalities or something else for all the confusion, but the truth is that it all comes down to you and me and how we live our lives as God's people. Your Methodist Hour team is doing its best to tell the story of a Savior whose life modeled care, love, and acceptance for the world, just like it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And I want to thank you for helping us to make it possible for us to tell his story to thousands of people every week. Our website is MethodistHourInternational.com. Follow us on Facebook, or you can text or call me direct, John Wolf, at 678-488-2162. 678-488-2162. And I pray that his healing love will just pour all over you today. Amen.
And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.